Happy New Year, and I hope you had a Merry Christmas. We had a Merry Christmas over here at the Hoppatarian Show, as YouTube gave us a strike. And that's why we didn't post anything or live stream last time, because we got a strike. So thanks a lot, YouTube. And the reason why we got that strike is because we violated their medical misinformation policy. The last episode that we did, I had said something along the lines of this thing that you can get in your arm because of something that happened in 2020 that you could possibly get. It could manipulate the building blocks of human beings. And that's a no-no, according to YouTube. So, from all of us at the Hoppatarian Show, I want to sincerely apologize for saying that. And I promise to never say anything like that again. A lot of reflections, a lot of thinking, and a lot of looking at myself in the mirror, wondering, can I still do this? I don't know, you be the judge. But I'm going to keep fighting, and I'm going to keep talking. So again, I sincerely apologize, YouTube, for violating your medical misinformation policy. And I will once again say, never do anything like that again. And now on to the show.
Warning, this is the most important podcast of our lifetime.
Hello, everyone.
What is Hoppatarian?
So what is Hoppa? So when you put together Hoppatarians, what is that?
You know the thing.
They're here to awkward it up for you guys.
Which is a very interesting and beautiful mix of humanity.
Anyone has a podcast?
You're an extremist.
Shut up!
All right, let's get to it.
Hey, what's happening? And welcome to the Hoppatarian Show. The number one show that thanks Jeffrey Epstein, the New York financier, is still alive. Please don't forget to subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and leave a review telling us how much you love the Hoppa Ethnostate. Our guest today is someone who thinks the Epstein Styles is just a big old nothing burger. It's the host of It's Too Late with Alan Mosley. It's Alan Mosley. What's wrong with you, sir?
You know, do you remember that one reporter, Megyn Kelly or whatever, that said maybe people would be hearing from Epstein very soon? What do you think she meant by that?
I don't know. That's the first time I've heard of that.
You didn't see that? That was all over Twitter and stuff today. She said that on like coverage about recent events, and people were like, well, what is that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
Like, do you mean he's going to give some testimony from because he's not dead, or that like maybe there's a dead man switch going off? And like everybody said that, you know, Pat McAfee is probably still alive because he seems like the kind of guy that would have had a dead man switch. If he died, stuff would have got leaked or there would have been a message. Dude, if anybody had a dead man switch, it's Jeffrey Epstein. And I like, come on, right? Like maybe he had it super timed where like a few years after his demise on a specific date and time important to him, it'd just be bloop, there it is. And he's going to drop all the bombs.
Well, then they have the, where people were comparing the photo of what he looked like, because they were kind of comparing his nose. The nose looked a little different when that little picture from like far away where you see him, his body or whatever. Like that's not, his nose looks a little bigger or whatever it was. And,
Well, he looks different because assassins killed him. That's why he looks different.
Yeah. But apparently he hanged himself.
It's hanged. I would know. So it's hanged. And there was also that whole thing where apparently his brother talked to Tucker Carlson and was talking about the medical stuff that was released to the family or whatever, and all the evidence to suggest that he didn't hang himself because there was so many inconsistencies with the medical report that would seem to indicate other trauma. Like he wasn't the only one committing actions in that cell. I don't know. There's different, like there's layers to that onion, right? There's he's alive. He's dead because he killed himself. He's dead because someone else killed him. There's, you know, like which there's a lot of different paths you can take.
Well, I wish I remember it was, but there was a photo from overhead, maybe from a drone or something. I don't know. But they were saying this was after all that was happening. Mm-hmm. And hey, look, there's Jeffrey Epstein right there. But you can like, zoom in and look at his face. Like, I mean, I guess it kind of looks like him, but because he's old, he kind of has the same hair, but the face looks a little different. He's wearing, I think he was wearing sunglasses. Mm-hmm. So it could be any old white guy that has the same hairstyle and hair color. So who knows?
Yeah. Epstein, that's an interesting family name. Is that Western European? I don't know.
Sounds probably a little more goyish, I think.
Oh, okay. I wasn't trying to be too on the nose, but. All right. Anyway. Hey, Shane, how are you doing?
I'm all right, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know if people were watching the intro. So yeah, we did get a YouTube strike because our last episode that I did with this fine gentleman here, I said something that the building blocks of human beings could be manipulated or can be manipulated with this thing that you get in your arm because that thing that happened in 2020 and you could possibly get it and all that stuff that apparently some people are still afraid of. Cause I saw some tweets. I don't know if you've seen this where they have to be joking. They're like, it's been 4 years since I've gone out to see my family. It's been 4 years since I've had a meal at a restaurant. You want to know why?
Yeah, there. I've seen some of there's journalists and stuff who tweeted out this very holiday season that we just ended, saying that they still were not having big family gatherings for like Thanksgiving and Christmas. And it's, and I mean, it's at this point, it's like maybe you're not having them because you your family doesn't love you.
Wouldn't it be like half the case though? Like, you know, half the people and families don't really like each other, but you kind of have to be with each other because you're family, right? Isn't that how it's supposed to go or something? I don't know.
That's what they say. We don't all subscribe to that particular mentality. We were actually talking about that just the other night that, you know, I don't know if you have any siblings. I have one older brother and I were discussing that Dave's got brothers and I've got a brother and we kind of have a similar relationship, which is, He is my brother, and I love him, but we're really friends. You know, like I will say no more. I feel like that. I feel like that communicates it. Like we don't share a lot of similar interests and hobbies. We don't hang out.
Yeah,
but I mean, he's still my brother.
Right. Yeah, still family. And speaking of family, hope you all had a good 2023 and. This is the start of 2024, and if you're wondering why Nico isn't here, it's because when she was drinking water, it went down the wrong pipe, as they say. So,
That I was expecting to hear a
right then, but I know, terrible timing.
Yeah.
We rehearsed this, but she didn't do it.
Yeah, typical.
I know.
Actually, she left Shane like 6 months ago, and this is just his way of coping. Is he?
How dare you? How dare you?
You just have this whole bit.
That was a secret. Why do you tell everybody? Come on. That's a secret. Damn.
No, in all seriousness, though, I feel really bad about the whole strike thing on your YouTube channel, but I'm so glad it wasn't. Like, I would feel super bad if it was something I said or did that got the strike. Because it's like, oh, I got a strike on poor Shane and Nico's channel. You know, what a terrible guest I would be. But since it was you that did it, it's like, oh, no. That's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all my fault. So.
Yeah. I mean, I agreed with everything you said. I just didn't say it.
I guess just nodding your head, maybe that was part of it too. Is like, you just like, man, this guy's really agree. He didn't push back at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't run the disclaimer on screen saying that this was all satire.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't have to get into it because I'm just curious about your thoughts on it real quick. But did you see Tucker Carlson's interview with Kevin Spacey, aka Frank Underwood? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. You know, the thing is that we live in a time where more and more people are having the conversation of, are you the type of person that can separate an artist's work from who they are as a person? Or are you the type of person who would say, because this person is terrible, I want them to fail. I don't want them to succeed. Therefore, I'm not going to support them. I'm not going to consume their content. Whatever. Kevin Spacey tried to force young men to consume his content. Not anymore, unfortunately. But the thing is like, so, you know, I watched,
how dare you?
Yeah. I watched the first few seasons of, House of Cards and I thought it was pretty good. I thought the show was getting gradually worse though, which happens so often, right? Like a show starts off with a bang and it's like the deeper it gets, the more convoluted it is. And the more they add other characters and the other characters aren't as good as like the initial cast and stuff. But I'd never watched the final season when they kicked him off the show, knowing that like, this is it, this is the end of the series. And he's the chief character, you know, I guess you would say he's like an anti-hero or whatever. He's the protagonist of the show, but he's a bad guy. But I never watched the final season because I just know instinctively, oh, that's going to be garbage. I'm not 100% sure I was going to watch it because I didn't like where it was going. And I don't like him. And I think he's a monstrous person. So there's also a good chance for that reason that I wouldn't have watched it. But I 100% wasn't going to watch it without him on it. It's just, I feel like if you're going to fire Roseanne from Roseanne, then the show's just over. There's no more show.
At least with Roseanne, when they kicked her out, I mean, it was stupid. That whole situation was retarded, but at least they renamed the show. It wasn't just, it's still Roseanne, but at least they renamed the show. It's like with the House of Cards, it could have been like, oh, it's about her now. And I think, and like you, I didn't see the final, I think maybe I watched like three or four, I can't remember. Half of the show, I think, is basically how much we've seen it. We watched, but I think they were trying to make that last season basically, oh, see, the woman's got the power now. This, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a feminist. Yeah. It's a feminist orgasm.
Yeah. Everything's girl power. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I wouldn't have appreciated the direction they were going with it, even if he was still in the show. But I don't know. I mean, that this is seriously a topic that I kind of waffle on, because sometimes, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it really comes down to something, if you like something or not, right? Like, if you genuinely love some product, then you may be more likely to say, look, I can separate the artist from the art.
Yeah.
And if that's your opinion, then that's fine. That's your opinion. But I think honestly, the older I get and the more we find out about just how just creepy pedo monsters that so many of these people are, the more I'm moving in the direction of, I want these people to fail in all of their endeavors, so I will not contribute to them their success one iota. I will not click on their show on a streaming service. I'm not even going to do this thing of, oh, well, I'll pirate it so they don't get no. You know, have some integrity and just don't watch whatever it is. So I don't know. I guess I have enough honesty and introspection to say that if it happened to something I really loved, if there was some series or whatever that I was, or artist that I was a huge fan of, and then they were embroiled in a controversy, maybe that would test my resolve a bit more than in this case, where it was like, older Kevin Spacey movies were better than the show, and the show was better in season one than it was in season three. Yeah. So it was an easy decision for me to make, but I don't know. That's actually a pretty good poll for us to run someday, is if you find out that some artist is objectionable in however you choose to define the term, they're a pedo, or they're a leftist, or they're, or a conservative, what, however, whatever makes you mad, you know, would you still watch their stuff and just block out who they are as a person? Or would you not watch their stuff because you don't want to associate with it?
Yeah, I think Michael Jackson was one of the big names for that. It's like, I mean,
well, I know a lot of people that make up 13% of the population that were not going to stop listening to Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Oh wait, he was a homosexual pedo. It's fine. Bad is a really good song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's a really good example. I mean, all joking aside, that was a great example because there was a bunch of people that really loved Michael Jackson, and when it was looking really bad for him and he was just getting eaten alive in the press and stuff 24/7, and certainly not doing himself any favors, by the way, by being a homosexual pedophile, there were people that still supported him because they liked him. I mean, that's just all there is to it. There were people who liked him more than they did be afraid of what he was allegedly doing. Yeah. So, I mean, there were people who defended OJ in that same period in American history. There were people who defended him, even though it certainly wasn't looking very good. And again, he himself wasn't doing himself any favors by saying and doing some really creepy stuff around the same time that seemed to be incriminating. And there were people that defended him. So I don't know. Like I said, I will at least have enough humility to say that, you know, maybe I'm a hypocrite and my opinion would change if it was something I really loved. I don't know.
Well, I guess that's a great segue into something I wanted us to react to. And that's so going back to what we're talking about with Jeffrey Epstein, one Alan Dershowitz recently was on Fox News. And
Dershowitz, that's a
it's
a Western European name, isn't it?
Right, possibly from Niger, I think. Maybe, I'm not really sure, or Russian, maybe, I'm not really sure. So anyway, Dershowitz. So this is just the gist of what he said. We'll watch the whole thing. They said Dershowitz actually responded with, "quote, but do you condemn Hamas?" unquote to the rape allegations against him. LMAO. This is from Keith Woods at Keith Woods YT.
The one point I do want to make is that I understand all the feminist groups and the radicals who think this is the worst thing in the world that anybody ever had any contact with Jeffrey Epstein. Where are all those radical feminists when it comes to the Hamas rapes of young Jewish girls, sexual abuse, beheadings? They are quiet. They are silent. The incredible hypocrisy of the Me Too movement. Me Too, except if you're a Jew. And I want to have
that's a good rhyme. That's a pretty good rhyme. Me Too, except if you're a Jew. It's good.
Yeah. Rhyme. No, hey, I mean, when the guy's right, he's right. Keep going.
all the radical feminists who are pushing hard, and I understand that, to get all these names revealed. And I want to know how many of them have ever actually condemned Hamas for the rapes that we now know occurred and the murders that occurred. How many have been silent, and how many, like the National Lawyers Guild, have actually approved of what Hamas did? So let's put this in context. I'm thrilled that all these papers have come out. I urged them. I went to court. I asked for everything to come out because I knew that I had done nothing wrong, and the papers would exculpate me. What I only worry about is that maybe the judges withheld certain documents. I want to make sure every single document comes out, including the documents that cast doubt on the credibility of some of the accusers and some of the accused. The public has the right to see everything and make their own judgment. We do not country in guilt by accusation, but guilt by association.
So I guess if you're accusing him of stuff, it's like, well, I mean, Hamas, right? Am I right? Hamas?
It's like, look, I know that I raped kids with Jeffrey Epstein on his island, but I'm still the victim, you guys, and here's why. Jesus Christ, those people can always figure out a way to be the victim.
I know. I mean, they have...
Those people, I'm talking about lawyers, by the way.
Yeah, they have a really good PR. Really good PR. I mean, I don't know who is funding that. Maybe they're all, maybe it's all in a pot. You know, you put some money in that PR pot.
Yeah. Oh, dude, if I had known that we were going to talk about that right there, I would have sent you a link to a tweet that happened or that came from PBS, which PBS, as we know, is just is propaganda broadcasting services of the federal government.
Oh, is that what PBS means? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what PBS stands for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so I actually have to find this because I want to make sure that I get it right.
Yeah. Because I know PBS likes to get things right all the time, right?
Yeah, you know it. For some reason, yeah, there it is. So PBS tweeted this out. I could probably send you the link so that you have it, but PBS tweeted out this message, and you want to talk about like just Hasbara literally in a single tweet. It says from PBS NewsHour, Hamas has pumped out propaganda on social media, prompting Israel to start its own media campaign to drum up support. Those efforts have also resulted in Palestinians and Arab citizens of Israel arrested for social media posts. Now, hold on a second. Hamas has propped out propaganda, but Israel has a media campaign. Hamas equals propaganda. Israel equals media campaign. Oh, literally in the same sentence.
Oh, that's funny.
And those efforts have also resulted in Palestinians and Arab citizens of Israel being arrested for social media posts. So Hamas equals propaganda.
Yeah.
Israel equals media campaign. But Israel's campaign is the only one of the two that results in innocent civilians being arrested for free speech.
Man, damn.
It's like they tweeted that out thinking that that was like they're the good guys. That's what blows me away is that they tweeted that unironically thinking that that was really a dagger against those darned terrorists. It's like, Jesus Christ. Like, to me, that's exactly the tweet you would write if you're the villain in the story.
Hey, we just did a media campaign. I don't know what this propaganda is. I don't even know what that means, propaganda.
I'm tired of your propaganda, Shane. So I'm going to start my own media campaign against you.
Dang. All right. I guess that's if someone's going to make some propaganda against me, just call it a media campaign next time. And then nobody will even think about it.
Just shameless. I mean, it's just incredible.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's if there's a glimmer of hope, if there's a silver lining to that, it's that on that tweet, you can see tons and tons of replies of people calling them out, saying like, wow, this is like you guys aren't even trying. it's just dripping.
Oh, man.
So anyway, that is immediately what I thought of. When you brought that up,
man, they're pretty good at their own propaganda. I mean, media campaigns, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
They're really good.
Yeah. So a lot of people pointed out that. Do you remember there was that brief window of time when Elon first took over Twitter, when it was still Twitter and not X, that he put that like state sponsored media tag? Like, remember the old Twitter had that on like Russia Today and stuff like that, and then he slapped it on like PBS, MSNBC, you know, whatever.
Oh, that's
right.
Yeah.
And then they all got butt hurt and then they threatened to leave. And then finally they removed the tags. And so a bunch of people in the replies were saying that they should slap that tag back on like at least PBS, because it actually, honest to God, is funded. I mean, funded. They're all run by the US government, but that one is literally, you know, legally run. Funded by the U.S. government. So they should totally slap state-sponsored media on there. Absolutely, because it literally is. It's not even conjecture.
And like you said, it's propaganda. Because what did PBS stand for again? Propaganda Broadcasting?
Yeah, that's what it stands for. Exactly.
Okay. I mean, I don't mind propaganda, but I mean, geez. Like, come on. I mean, Hamas has pumped out propaganda on social media, prompting Israel to start its own media campaign and drama and stuff. Just say it, own propaganda. Like, what's the fucking problem? Just say that.
Yeah.
Whatever. Jeez. Man, it's almost like PBS just from that tweet alone. It's almost like they're painting one side as not good, mm-hmm. the other side as very good.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just back to a corner. I mean, I don't know. We got to do something.
It's such a backhanded thing because in the same tweet, they point out that, well, this is one of the byproducts of this policy is, oh, by the way, some Israeli citizens who say things like, let's not genocide people. They get arrested. I mean, it's an interesting thing. Like that happens in different places in the world. That happens in Israel. That happens in Australia. It happened during COVID. So the stuff that you said that got you a strike, you would have been arrested in New Zealand if you had said those things. That happens in England, in the UK. They do not have free speech. They have laws against they have laws against certain types of speech. And then once those laws get passed, then all they ever really need to do is classify something you said as in that category, and boom, they've got you. And they did. They were arresting people and charging people with crimes for having simply made like social media posts and stuff. So I don't know. I guess, you know, I'm trying to be more positive in the new year. I'm not trying to be so doom and gloom as we're heading into 2024. And so I guess my positive spin on that would be is, you know, our country has a lot of problems, but at the very least, you can still say and do the things online that we say and do. And like, I'm not literally going to find out you got arrested and I shouldn't go back home tonight because they're camping out my address.
Oh boy. Yeah. I've been thinking about this Israeli and, you know, Palestinian conflict, whatever. And I'm just wondering, like, how's it going to end? Like, how's this going to end? You know, it's just a bad situation over there. Like, it's very bad. So how do we end this situation? You know, we need to come together and bring peace and prosperity to that area. Mm-hmm. I think, you know,
well, they have the answer for that. It's kill or displace everyone there who's not Israeli. That's they figured that out. They want all the other countries in the West to take refugees, you know, the ones who survived the bombings. They want different countries to take refugees in, and then that's it. That's the whole
bring the Israelis to Israel and the Palestinians to Palestine, and there you go. Like, there's
just I know that sounds simple enough, but I feel like there it might be a touch more complicated than that. I don't know, but
and also what I was saying before about how, like, saying that it's a very bad situation. I was making fun of The Rock on Joe Rogan. Sorry, that was stupid. But,
well, you know, there was people that thought that the whole Russia Ukraine thing is they just want to send all the Ukrainians to their death so that they can send the Israelis to Ukraine.
Yeah.
There was people that thought, mm-hmm. I think that that's probably that's just a tad bit too tinfoil for me. But there's,
I mean, no, it's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, well, why, you know, if Israel's the one who's going to ultimately get their way, then, you know, why should the Palestinians be sent to like France or America? Why don't they send them to Ukraine?
No, America's already, we already have our own immigration problem. I mean, New York is saying, don't bring any more migrants or immigrants up here, Texas. We'll sue you.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just because it's always easy for a politician to say on the macro, we support X, but then on the micro, oh, but not us, though. You know, it's super easy for leftist politicians who by and large control, let's just say, for an example, New York or California. It's easy for those people to say, oh, we should be welcoming these poor refugees. But then when it comes time for literal refugees by the truckload to show up in their literal cities, they'll say, oh, sorry, no, we're full. We can't take anymore. So what they really mean is that the proverbial we should be welcoming more refugees to move to Iowa and Nebraska and Kansas. That's what they really mean.
Yeah. To send them over the flyover country. You know, none of this, New York and California and Chicago, none of that. Leave them in Texas and Florida and take them to North Dakota. I'm sure they love North Dakota.
Well, the governor of New York himself said that he was against Texas trying to send busloads of migrants to New York. And he literally used the words, this is a direct quote from his, "We're not set up for that like a border state. So it's taxing us too much." And I was like, what do you mean set up for it? Because I don't think Texas or New Mexico or Arizona volunteered to have a million migrants. You know, I don't think that they want that situation. I think that that's part of the big problem, right? Is that they're saying, wait a minute, the federal government should be enforcing, you know, these laws, or we should take over the power and shut down the border ourselves, because it's our literal border. It may be the nation's border, but it's also our state's border. And if you refuse to do anything about it, then we will. And because they don't want the problem to continue, it's already cost them so much. There's already been such a massive amount of illegal immigration. But the governor of New York said that, well, we're not set up to deal with that, implying that they are. You know, Texas, you're set up to deal with that, so you should keep them. But Texas is saying, but we don't want that to continue. So, I mean, obviously we're at an impasse, right? Is that, but it's so interesting to me that, you know, that it implicit in that statement is, well, you must be more well suited for this than us. But let's just hypothetically say that's true. If hypothetically Texas should welcome and honor the role of having such a massive amount of its own resources dedicated to dealing with the border crisis, then I don't want to hear these leftists who complain that, oh, well, the blue states are actually the really successful ones that are like net positive in taxes. And it's actually the red states that are just bottom feeders. And so, you know, a national divorce would never work, because it's actually all the red states that are just, you know, that are socialists when it comes to the federal, you know, federal budget. Well, wait, hold on a second. All that goes out the window if you also expect them to deal with the immigration crisis, and you guys don't have to. What?
But I thought borders didn't exist.
Well, they never thought that.
Oh,
okay. They never once thought that. I mean, they always have considered themselves to be the elite. The only way an elite consider themselves to be an elite is that they have a piece of the pie that's theirs that they can differentiate from yours. And so they always believed in borders and sectionalism and all that. I mean, the thing is, I do too, but that's why I don't want to have anything to do with those people. I mean, I don't really think it's that foreign of a concept, but in short, it's just to say that I actually am, my serious political position is I think Texas should just man up and take the money out of their own budget, raise the funds, do whatever they have to do to have the money to hire the manpower to secure the border themselves. Build a wall, dig trenches, whatever you got to do, and shut the border down. Now, what's going to happen when they do that is, even when they say they're going to do it, is the feds are going to sue them. The federal district attorney is going to sue the state of Texas. And what the state of Texas should say is, whatever, we're just not showing up to court. Go fuck yourself. That's what they should do. Of course, you know, some people know I work for the 10th Amendment Center, and the 10th Amendment is the one based on nullification. And what a lot of people don't understand is that, of course, the federal government's terrible at everything it does. Most states' governments are terrible at what they do, too. Don't get me wrong. But the federal government is terrible at everything that it does. And it also just simply doesn't have the money, or actually, more importantly, the manpower to enforce almost any of its edicts. It requires state and local enforcement to help them enforce bad federal laws and regulations. If your state and local authorities just simply refuse to play along, in almost all cases, that would just be the end of the tale. Take, obviously, marijuana as an example. Marijuana is still illegal, guys, according to the federal government. That hasn't actually changed. And yet, no, you don't even think about it anymore, do you? I mean, it just...
Yeah, not really.
Like you can, it's funny. You can go on apps now. You can have a bio on different apps, and one of the questions will be, you know, cannabis, yes or no? And it's because it's just such a casual thing. People that want to smoke it or consume whatever do it, and those that don't. And you just don't. There's just not federal task force in Humvees driving up and down your streets looking for pot smokers. Why? Because they don't have them. The only way they were ever able to go after you is they needed your local police or your state police to come get you and then hand you over to the feds so that they could charge you with felonies. That's the only way they could do it. They don't have a federal police. Like the federal police force is something like 100,000. This is a country of like 330 million people. They essentially don't have a federal police force. So it would be the exact same thing with the border. Texas should shut their border down because it's their right to do. And if the federal government says you can't do that, we're not going to let you, Texas should say, I dare you to roll in the tanks on us. You won't.
Well,
because
if
let's just say hypothetically they do. If the U.S. federal government literally rolls the tanks in on one of their own states that's trying to better its own situation, be damned their policies, the union will collapse overnight. It'll be over. That's the end of the United States. It'll be our Tiananmen Square moment. Could you imagine the news? Because again, God knows the mainstream media won't report it, but everyone's got these, right?
Yeah.
Could you imagine going on X on Twitter and seeing thousands and thousands of people's cell phone videos of the tanks rolling down the streets of Austin, shelling buildings and looking for officials? Are you kidding me? Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
If that happened, A, some people would die. People would start shooting each other. And B, that would be the end of the country. It would break up. That would be the end of the union. And so evil people are evil. They're not stupid. And the evil people that control this world are not stupid enough to go that far, knowing that it could cost them everything.
Yeah, I was kind of going to say that if they were to do that, because you're like earlier you were saying, okay, so we're just not going to show up to court. And then that would probably just be the end of it. It's like, okay, well, like, what are they going to do? Arrest the governor? And then a new governor's going to go in. And so it's just keep on with the cycle. Like, who's the new leader? Okay, we'll get you. We'll get you.
That's certainly what they would attempt to do. So they would sue Texas in court. And Texas may try to attack it in court. But let's say ultimately a federal judge, you know, big shocker, a federal judge rules for the federal government in federal court.
What?
And then Texas would say, okay, I don't care what your ruling is. We're just going to do whatever we want. If that happened, then yes, the next legal thing they would want to do is go in there and arrest Greg Abbott. Okay, but what if the Texas Rangers and Texas State PD and stuff all say, actually, you're not going to do that. If you try to come in here, we're going to consider that kidnapping and we're going to kill you.
Yeah.
We're going to treat you.
That is kind of their job, is to protect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, it's like, do you really want to cross that line? Because once you do, there's no going back. Do you want to be that? Do you want, like, if you're Joe Biden? Now, granted, Joe Biden doesn't know anything that's going on in the world around him because his brain is pudding. But let's just say hypothetically, Joe Biden weren't completely dementia-addled. If you're Joe Biden, do you want to be the president that sends tanks into a state and literally gets into a firefight on that state's Capitol Hill trying to arrest people because they didn't acquiesce to a federal law or regulation that ultimately then spurns dozens plus like open firefights around the country and people calling for separation? Is that do you want that to happen on your watch? Really? I mean, I kind of wanted to have it, but that's because I have ulterior motives. I actually want the country to break apart. But if you were somebody who didn't want the country to break apart, then you would say, no, you got to let them do what they want because it's just not worth it. I mean, it's just not. So, but in a weird sort of way, that would be the best thing. That it would still be a net positive for all of us. Because if the feds lay down the hammer, nation's over, union breaks apart. Because they just won't suffer it. If they don't and they let Texas do what they want, then more states will say, wait a minute. We can rule the way we see fit within our own state, and we can tell them to go to hell. And there's nothing they can do about it because we're the ones enforcing their laws for them.
Yeah.
If they send U.S. Marshals here, we'll tell them you're under arrest and we'll put their U.S. Marshals in our jails.
Hmm.
Which, I mean, that's how nullification actually works. Again, I use weed as the example. Marijuana is still a scheduled drug according to the federal government. And yet you don't see federal task forces in California, in a variety, in Oregon, in wherever. Mm-hmm. You don't see them going down the streets cracking skulls and firebombing buildings. You just don't. You don't see San Francisco under siege right now by a federal army, do you? Why? They're breaking the law, aren't they? But they're not breaking but they're not breaking California law.
Yeah.
And they know that they don't have the manpower to go into California and attack Californian citizens against the wishes of Californian officials because they're outnumbered. It's not like federal is greater than state, therefore they're bigger. It's quite the opposite. There's a significantly higher number of, you know, believe it or not, even California, where all the liberals are, there's a whole lot more armed and dangerous Californians than there are federal police by an enormous margin.
I'm just trying to imagine federal officials going into San Francisco and like the literal zombies, the drugged up people start trying to attack them. That'd be hilarious to me just to see those two fight, you know, the two groups fighting. How the druggies and the police force going to go at each other? Let's see. Let's find out.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a Southern guy. I've always been a Southern supremacist. I've never minced words about that. The Confederacy was in the legal and moral right. And we are under occupation right now, and I don't consider the America legitimate. So there you go. There's three more strikes for your YouTube channel. And that's what I want the state of Tennessee to do. If the feds say you should do X and Tennesseans want to do Y, we should just do it and tell them go to hell. What are they going to do? Are they literally going to start drone striking the state of Tennessee? Because would the other states around Tennessee that are supportive of what they're doing, would they just look the other way? Or would they all say, you know what, actually, we're all going to do this too. We're all going to just start doing whatever we want. So it's not in the federal government's interest to take it to that level of escalation when the only way they're able to enforce their laws right now is with the help. And by the way, this isn't if you're an ACAB, all cops are bastards person, this is something good for you to listen to too. No, a federal officer is not coming to your house to arrest you for your dime bag and send you to prison for life. They're not coming to your house to kill your dog and throw you in prison because you had pot brownies. No. It's your local police that are going to do that because they're being paid by the feds to come kill you and take your stuff. If your local police, if those bastards said, you know what, we don't work for you, so we're not going to do what you say, boom, overnight, you're free.
Hmm.
It's just that easy. But you have to have people at the state and local level who are going to have the balls to say, I don't care about your MOIs. I don't care about your agreements with federal task forces for profit sharing through civil asset forfeiture. I don't care about all that. We're not going to worry about how we're going to fund our department. We'll figure out a way to fund our department, but we're not going to take federal dollars anymore. The moment they do that, they're free. That's it. They're free.
Well, I'm not going to let you get away by saying the Confederacy was in the moral right. Wasn't the Civil War about slavery?
No, it wasn't. But they were in the moral right.
So are you telling me that I was taught wrong?
I mean, if you went to a public school in the United States, almost certainly.
Son of a.
Yeah. So sorry about that. You know, there's a, you know, like you might be familiar with the fact that a lot of people around my part of the country don't call it the Civil War because it actually wasn't a civil war. They call it the War of Northern Aggression because the South was invaded by the North. You know, the South didn't invade the North. They didn't attack Washington, D.C. It was the other way around. And it wasn't a civil war because a civil war would suggest that there's two groups vying for the same political apparatus. And if the South won, the whole country would become, you know, the Confederacy. They weren't trying to take over Washington. They were trying to separate from Washington. That's not a civil war. So
are you telling me that the victors are the ones that wrote the history books?
It says right here that the good guys won every time. What are the odds?
Oh my god. so I've been lied to this whole time. God damn it.
Yeah, as my friend Lyle there says in chat, the first Mountain Dew war, the second one is coming. That's right. That's right. Gosh.
Because I keep saying, yeah. Oh, no, people who say the South was right and the North was wrong, you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm just, I mean, I don't know. From all I know, freaking, you know, the freaking social studies teacher was telling me, yeah, Abraham Lincoln, he freed the slaves. I was like, oh, yeah, he freed the slaves. Okay, cool. Yeah. Wow. All right, cool, cool.
Yeah, except for he didn't free the slaves in the North. That's an interesting little historical tidbit.
Wait, are you telling me that people in Pennsylvania own slaves? Get out of here.
That's just one. Like, if you could think of hundreds, if not thousands of things that are historical accuracies that you won't be taught in public schools and that have no place in public discourse. If you could just pick one just to blow up public discourse, it's that, did you know that, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation didn't free all the slaves? In fact, when Lincoln made that proclamation, it actually only affected Southern states because he was hoping for slave rebellions in the South against the states that had seceded into the Confederacy. In the states that stayed in the Union that still had living slaves under chattel slavery, they were left as is. So, you know.
But he had a top hat and he was taller than everybody. Come on.
He was pretty monstrous. This is true. Really ugly dude. I don't think the presidency has been like a who's list of attractive guys, but Lincoln's towards the very bottom.
I don't know. Apparently Bill Clinton was a hound dog. I mean, you hear how many people he was hounding?
He liked him young, I've heard.
I've heard that, yeah. And but then he ended up marrying a bitch, so.
Yeah, well, that was always of a convenience thing. I mean, that's probably, but you know, the thing is the, you know, I don't judge somebody for liking them young. I mean, young women are hot, but you know, the key word being women, you know, not girls.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. I don't want to say anything to like get myself in trouble here. So I need to make sure that I'm really on the nose with those types of jokes, but you know, I've told people in all seriousness that this might come as a shocker to you, but I really don't understand pedophiles. I don't get pedophiles. I really don't. And I know that it's like, well, duh, but I'm serious. I don't understand pedophiles because the older I get, like when I was 8, I didn't think 38-year-old women were attractive. I thought they were old. But then when I was like 16, I thought 16-year-olds were attractive. I still didn't think women pushing 40 were attractive. I thought they were old. Well, now that I'm 38, I think 38-year-old women are attractive. And you know what? Big shocker. This is going to blow your mind. I don't think teenagers are particularly attractive. I think that they're children. And it's not like a one day event. It's not on a Tuesday you think kids are hot and you want to diddle them, and then on Wednesday you don't feel that way anymore. It's you tend to gravitate towards your own. Or at least within, you know, a context of like adulthood. I mean, I remember being in college. When I was in college and I was like 19 or 20, it would have never dawned on me to go hit on a high school freshman, because I'd have been like, oh, it's a girl. I don't want a girl. You know, I want a woman. And so all I'm saying is, you know, I tell you what, I'm just going to say it. Those pedophiles aren't very good people.
That is a good point.
Yeah, Lyle says Alan sticks with his kind. Well, we actually know that that's just objectively false, but that being neither here nor there. As Shane Full well knows, look, I don't think the races should mix.
Okay, now we're really crossing a line.
It would be super weird to have like NASCAR right next to horses. That's stupid. You can't have the races mix.
Wow.
Like Usain Bolt racing a stock car, that'd be dumb.
I really fell flat into that one, didn't I?
Yeah. But also, everybody knows that an Asian girlfriend's okay.
Sounds good to me.
but a woman friend, not a girlfriend, a woman friend.
You know, that's kind of funny that you're 40 or 50, you still call the person you're dating a girlfriend. You don't call it a woman. It's kind of a weird term.
Yeah, people still say boyfriend and girlfriend because I think that's just the word for when they're not your spouse.
Yeah, it's like a stepping stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of girlfriends that were stepping stones, but that's a different.
Like you literally stepped on them, right? Like you were literally step on them.
Yeah. Well, I'm the man, so.
Yeah. So, there's a puddle here. Here, can you step into the puddle so I can not get wet? Thanks.
Yeah. Well, they're the ones who like to get wet.
I mean, yeah. That does. I mean, my man likes to get wet too, but in a different type of. Anyway.
Poor Shane. So anyway, this is the last episode of the 38 Parallel.
So this is gonna be a terrible segue into something else that I wanted to get to, that I wanted to get your reaction to, because okay. You hadn't seen this before. I don't think you have. So after all that girl talk, I figured, hey, let's talk about someone who, allegedly liked to have, I think it was Russian whores pee on him. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So this was an awkward moment on Fox. This was from January 3rd. This was tweeted out. So this was on Jesse Waters' prime time. Did you know that Jesse Waters is the one that took over Tucker Carlson's time slot? Who knew? They brought on a psychic, asked her to predict Trump's 2024. And, I mean, whatever.
Well, yeah, you had me at they brought on a psychic.
For you,
yeah,
they brought on a psychic. To give me a reading on President Trump.
Just the one card.
And you kind of know when Jesse's doing this, he kind of wants a different outcome as opposed to the one that happens.
One card.
One card. Let's do just one card. We like that one.
Oh. What is that?
I do recognize that I'm at
Fox TV. It's death. I
a sense of loss. A sense of loss, but it's very specific. Let me move on.
Look at Jesse. She's like, come on. I hope he was that Trump's going to win big. Come on.
It's a sense of loss. It's as if he may be thinking more about what he's lost and not still taking full advantage of what he still has.
Yeah, this woman's doing a really good job on trying to really gain the audience back. Like, hey, I don't. It says lost, but maybe he's just thinking about the things he has lost.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesse Waters. I mean, come on. Like, does anybody even really talk about that you've seen? Does anybody even talk about Jesse Waters? Because, I mean, obviously when Tucker was on, it was like, man. Tucker Carlson, you see what he said on his monologue today or whatever it was?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like Jesse Waters. What is he, like some guy?
It's like you have – so Fox News is we're the only ones who are real news, not CNN. Also Fox News, let's have a psychic.
Yeah, right.
Like, Jesus Christ.
And you better say something that we really like. Hey, psychic, if you pull out a card and if it's not something good, you're never being invited back.
I don't know what, and you know what? I'll at least give them this much credit. You at a bare minimum, it seems like it wasn't all totally staged because there's just no way that's the card they would pull if it was staged.
Right. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying though. You can kind of tell that Jesse really wanted a different outcome. Cause he's just like, oh my God.
But do you remember
Biden's going to win again?
I don't know why this made me think of this, but do you remember, it seems like at every single election, like presidential election year, all these different programs and stuff and newscasts will all trot out some better, some pundit, sometimes it'll be a dolphin. Sometimes it'll be an octopus, and it's always somebody who, they've always guessed the Super Bowl winner.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Yeah.
They've guessed the right Super Bowl winner for 50 years in a row or what, some ridiculous thing. But there will be different broadcasts that claim to have some surefire way of guessing. and two different broadcasts will pick both different opponents. Well, obviously somebody got it wrong. So if 4 years from now I see them trot out that same goddamn dolphin and he hits the ball into the wrong hoop, I don't give a shit about that dolphin because we know he was wrong last time. I don't want, yeah, well, this guy hardly ever misses. We have an inside joke of when we're watching football, the announcers will say, this guy hardly ever misses. And there goes that kick. Boom. Yeah. Into the fucking stratosphere. Right. It's the announcer curse. It's the same thing. It's like, so they're gonna pull out these random prognosticators that are gonna say, this guy has correctly predicted the winner of the presidential election ever since Jimmy Carter. And that guy, and they'll have seven different ones, and four of them are gonna say Biden, and three of them are gonna say Trump. And it's like, well, obviously some of them got it wrong, and y'all are lying about their supposed amazing prognostication. I'm even just thinking off the top of my head, I specifically remember one that went on with like John Stewart or something, all like back in Trump's first race against Hillary. And they were like, you know, Professor so-and-so, he looks at all this data and he has this formula and he's correctly predicted the presidents for the last 50 years. Sir, who do you think will win? And it says, well, you know, I've looked at the data. Clearly it'll be Hillary Clinton. And I was like, I cannot wait until they trot that motherfucker Baudek on TV, because the retarded audience will have forgotten, but I remember he was wrong.
And did they ever bring him back?
Actually, ironically enough, no, I don't think I've ever seen that same guy again. So maybe they at least were like, you know, you're full of crap. But honestly, that's not even the point. The point is these are the experts. This is the mainstream media that is allegedly the people that you're supposed to trust for important matters, and you're not supposed to do your own research, and you're not supposed to listen to people on the internet. Those people are having on Super Bowl betting octopi and psychics. So again, they're not even trying. Like they're not even pretending anymore. It's actually just a joke.
Well, speaking of a joke, the Philadelphia Eagles, they've been a joke for a little while. And I know that you're a Cowboys fan, so I'm sure you're enjoying that a lot.
Yeah. Couldn't happen to a better team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a better fan base.
Oh, man. Ever since Nick Sirianni was like, Chiefs, you're not talking now. Oh, and then also when the 49ers beat the Eagles that one time, and then. I think they've lost four of the last five games, whatever it's been.
Yeah, they've lost a bunch. They beat the Giants in between a whole bunch of other losses. Yeah, dude, they're losing to the Cardinals has given the Dallas Cowboys a chance to get the two seed on Sunday.
Isn't that crazy? So yeah, here's a video I'll share with this here. So there's a video from Dr. Catfish Charlie MD J whatever.
expert chicken farmer. This is exactly what I'm talking about. See, this is how you know Shane is a part of the mainstream media, and he pulls up stuff like expert chicken farmers. This is exactly what I'm talking about.
This guy's an expert right here. This guy.
All right.
So yeah, the caption is just fire Nick Sirianni at hashtag fly Eagles fly.
Okay.
It's just under 3 minutes, but you'll be laughing the entire time.
Let's talk about how Nick Sirianni doesn't belong coaching an NFL offense or an NFL team at all. He sucks. Fire the fucking Italian douchebag fuckboy. Watch this. First and 20. Let's run a college play that everybody can sniff the fuck out. Woo, let's run the ball. We didn't know we were going to run it with Jalen Hurts. Who would have fucking guessed that fucking shit?
That's a pretty fucking bad play.
Meanwhile, you got two fucking running backs sitting on the sideline that aren't doing shit that can actually run the football. Woo! Now look what we come back with on second.
You know what's crazy about this whole thing is that they're 11-4.
Yeah, he wants to fire the head coach who was just in the Super Bowl and has an 11-4 team now. Well, 11-5 now.
Right.
Let's guess what we're going to fucking do. I don't know. Who knows what we're going to do? Maybe we're going to throw it long. Maybe we're going to do a play action. Nope. Nope. Nick Sirianni, the Italian fuckboy, he's going to tell Jalen Hurts to run it off the right end. And guess what? Oh, shit. They fucking knew. They didn't fucking get surprised on that, you fucking idiots. Woo! Then she has it all to say. I don't know what they're doing, lady, but guess what? It ain't an NFL offense because we got an Italian fuckboy running a stupid fucking offense. And guess what? He wastes a timeout that you're going to need at the end of the game. He wastes a fucking timeout. Why? Because okay. He doesn't know what.
Okay, but it's like if you want to fire offensive coordinator Brian Johnson, I understand that. But you want to fire Nick Sirianni? Really?
I mean, he kind of came out of nowhere and done pretty well, far as I know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the dude has something like, you know, a 75% win percentage as an NFL head coach. I'm pretty sure that guy's not getting fired after this season.
What the fuck he's doing? The offense is all out of sorts. And then guess what they call? They call a fucking bullshit play. I'm going to pause it, and then we're going to come right back. Why do you need a coat on, buddy? It ain't that fucking cold out, and you're playing football. You're going to come back, and look at the down. It's 3rd and 20. And look what our genius fuckboy Italian comes up with. Look at it. I want you to look at it. A fucking screen pass to Gainwell? Are you fucking stupid? And look what happened. You got Devonta Smith hurt. You fucking idiot. What kind of stupid fuck are you? Fuck. Fire him now, Jeffrey Lurie. If you don't, we're going to fucking pick it for months. Fire that fuck. Look at him. He's too fucking stupid to coach an NFL team. You fired the only chance we ever had at winning the Super Bowl, and that was Doug Peterson. You fucking asshole. Fuck.
That is crazy to think, though, that Doug Peterson is the coach that won him a Super Bowl against the Patriots, and now he's with the Jaguars now, I think.
He won him a Super Bowl with Nick Foles as the quarterback.
Yeah, because that was Carson Wentz, and then he got injured. Nick Foles came in, won the Super Bowl. And then I think didn't they trade him literally on the offseason?
Yeah, they traded him. They traded him right after that because that's when they had trade value.
And then, happened?
I mean, don't get me wrong. Nick Foles isn't that good. He just everything came together
right
at the right time. And we talk about this all the time on sports ball and stuff. Is that there's a reason why it's so important to teams to make the playoffs. One is players stand to make more money. Two, coaches tend to not get fired when they're going to the postseason, and they're exponentially more likely to get fired if they're missing the postseason. Yep. But three, at the end of the day, all you really have to do is make the playoffs, right? Like, sure, who wouldn't want to be undefeated? Who doesn't want to be the one seed? You know, who doesn't want to just win the Super Bowl every year? But you just got to make the playoffs, because if you make the playoffs, then all bets are off. You just have to get hot for a few weeks, and boom.
Playoffs.
Yeah, we're talking about playoffs. If you get it, you just have to make the playoffs, because if you do, then any team can theoretically get hot for a few weeks, and that's it. You can have been a mediocre team, but you got hot for 3 weeks and you won the Super Bowl. Now, the Eagles, that last Super Bowl that they won, they weren't the best team all season, but they were pretty good. Carson Wentz had a pretty good year, and they were a pretty good team. But Wentz was kind of tailing off and when he got hurt. Like, he wasn't a top QB in the NFL. Nick Foles came in and played great. Is Nick Foles that good? No. But he played, like, his three best games of his freaking career back-to-back-to-back in January. So, I mean, hats off to him, you know. God bless him. But so as much as the expert chicken farmer has lost his goddamn mind because Nick Sirianni taking a team to multiple playoffs with like double digit wins is not going to get fired and has no chance of being fired. With that said, he is telling the truth that Doug Peterson was actually the Super Bowl winner. And it is true that the Eagles are looking pretty yikes right now.
Yeah, it seems like the Taylor Swift curse is striking again. Once she's been with Travis Kelce, the Chiefs have been and same with the Eagles. I mean, Jason Kelce, I mean, he's got a wife and all that, but his brother, obviously, Travis with Taylor. So by proxy.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, if you wanted me to give some slightly more in-depth football analysis, I would say a lot of Philly fans have been wanting their offensive coordinator, Brian Johnson, to get fired basically all season. And if they're one and done in the playoffs, I mean, they've already made the playoffs. They're going to be in. Dallas and Philadelphia are both in. It's just a matter of who wins the division. Yeah. But let's just say if Dallas beats the Commies on Sunday, they win the division, which makes the Eagles a wild card. Can you imagine that? The Eagles were a one-loss team a month ago and a shoe-in for the number one seed, and now they're going to be a wild card. Can you? That's mind-blowing. That's how bad they've been over the last 5-6 weeks. Mm-hmm. But with all that said, they are the defending NFC champions, and they did start the season that hot. If they are one and done in the playoffs, if they go to the playoffs, I mean, who are they going to play? Actually, they would be the fifth seed, so they won't play the Cowboys because the seventh seed would play the Cowboys.
I think they would play the Buccaneers.
Yes, that's right, because that's who the Cowboys. Yeah, so the Bucs beat the Panthers on Sunday, which, I mean, the Bucs are not good, but the Panthers are the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, the Panthers are pretty much like the one pick in the draft. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the Bucs. Well, the Panthers, they don't get the number one pick.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it goes to the Bears. That's a whole other conversation, but. If the Eagles are one and done in the playoffs, if they're the wild card team, because it's one of those deals where the NFC South is so shitty that like a 9-win Bucks team is going to be hosting a 12-win Eagles team in the playoffs. But if the Eagles go to Tampa Bay and lose in the wild card round, I mean, there will be some changes. It ain't going to be Nick Sirianni, but there will be some changes. Sure.
Oh yeah.
But that's the thing, that kind of fan, that's so typical. First of all, it's typical Philly fan, but it's also like it reminds me of Ohio State in college. There's a bunch of people that want Ryan Day to be fired because he keeps on losing to Michigan. And I understand the frustration of losing to your rival when you think that you're a good team. But they literally have lost to Michigan and like no one else in the regular season for 3 years. Are you there? No one is going to fire a head coach whose regular season record is 33-3. That guy's not getting fired, even though the three losses are to a team you really, really, really hate. I get the frustration, but I'm sorry, guys. You ain't firing a head coach who's 33-3 in the regular season. It's just not happening.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought
go Saints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thought you'd enjoy that.
The Saints can theoretically still make the playoffs as a wild card, but they need the Bucs to lose, and then the winner of Saints Falcons wins the NFC South. So the Saints are still in it.
Could you imagine?
Yeah. Oh, and then it would be the Saints hosting the Eagles in the first round.
If they go into New Orleans.
Yeah.
Oof.
Well, I mean, you say oof, but of the teams that are going to be in with as bad as the Eagles have looked, if you're the Saints, wouldn't you rather play the Eagles right now?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Eagles look like crap right now. So, yeah.
So, I mean, sure. I mean, I'm a Cowboys fan. If the Cowboys end up winning the division, they're going to play the 7th seed, whoever the bottom wild card is. I mean, honestly, they probably would rather play the Eagles. They already know they can beat them. They rolled them at home.
That would, I mean, if it like ended right now, I think that would be the Seahawks.
Yeah, and the Seahawks-Cowboys game was a very close game.
Yeah.
Big-time shootout and all that.
Hey, maybe the next time the Cowboys, if they win, they'll play the Lions, and maybe they won't be a whatever happened at the end. What happened at the end last time?
What happened at the end last time is bait for a bunch of national sports announcers who don't know jack shit of what they're talking about. So they're all upset. They all say that the Lions got screwed on a 2-point conversion play that was called a penalty that theoretically shouldn't have been. But what they're all leaving out of their expert analysis of, well, see, the Lions got screwed, you guys, because a call went against them, is when Dallas had the ball going down near the 2-minute warning, where a first down ices the game. Aiden Hutchinson of the Lions committed a tripping penalty. It's a 15-yard automatic first down. Cowboys taking the and win the game. The refs threw a flag and called it on a Dallas player. It was clearly not him. It was clearly Aiden Hutchinson. This is totally not up for debate, by the way. I mean, it's picture perfect, but that's one of those. It's an unreviewable play. Like, that's not, you know, deciding which player was the one who committed the foul. That's not a reviewable play in the NFL. So they called a 15-yard penalty on the Cowboys when they needed a first down to just run out the clock. It was absolutely a penalty, and it was absolutely on Aiden Hutchinson of the Lions. So I don't want to hear all your BS about the 2-point conversion in the final seconds. The Cowboys would have taken a knee and run out the clock if they officiated it correctly. So if you're going to complain about the officiating, all right, let's complain about the officiating. Dallas won. Suck a dick. Sorry. I mean, if the Lions weren't, I mean, honest to God, and I mean this, if the Cowboys weren't in it, I would love for the Lions to win just because they're the Lions. And it's like, you know, I would rather see teams who don't have a Super Bowl have a chance to win a Super Bowl.
No,
but if the Cowboys are in it, fuck them.
No.
Are you kidding me? Nobody wants to see the goddamn 49ers win.
Hey, come on, how dare you?
Okay, seriously, this is the Super Bowl I don't want. 49ers Ravens. No, out of the question. Nobody wants that. The Super Bowl, my number one pick for Super Bowl is Dallas versus the team whose plane crashes. There's no survivors. They automatically win.
Wow.
My second favorite Super Bowl is Browns-Lions.
Oh, my God. Browns-Lions.
Browns-Lions. Hell yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But the Super Bowl nobody wants is 49ers-Ravens. Ravens don't need another Super Bowl.
Hey, the 49ers are going for 6, okay? They're going for 1 to add to 5. 5 plus 1 is 6. Come on.
And that's how you know it's meant to be?
Yeah, it's meant to be, yeah.
Whatever. Brock Purdy's going to throw 5 interceptions in a game. That's going to be the end of the season.
Hey, in that Ravens game, a couple of them were tipped, okay? One was tipped. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. You know what? I'm genuinely excited for the playoffs. I really am, because there are teams that have been mostly good for most of the year that have taken most of the top seeds, and you expect more from them, like the 49ers. But there's no perfect teams. I mean, even the highest rated teams have like 3, 4, 5 losses. This has been there's been a lot of ups and downs for everybody. So it's anybody's game. It's anybody's Super Bowl. It really is. By anybody's, I mean the Dallas Cowboys. But it's anybody's. Actually, I'm just kidding. I'm a Cowboys fan, but they're not going to win the Super Bowl because Jerry Jones is still the owner, and they won't win another one until after.
Who's the quarterback for the Cowboys?
Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. The personnel is irrelevant. Dallas is talented enough to win the Super Bowl right now. They won't, because Jerry Jones is their owner and Mike McCarthy is their coach. That's entirely it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Jerry Jones sold his soul to the devil for a dynasty in the 90s, and he got it. But now the Cowboys will never win again until he's dead. I know that. It's okay. Like, I'm not mad. It's just reality. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
So we all have to wait patiently for Jerry Jones to burn in hell, and then America's team can be back on top. America's team.
Yeah, no, America's team.
I mean, you know, in the good old days, you're a youngin', because we're so far apart in age, you and I. But
yeah.
I remember, I mean, it was 49ers Cowboys every year. Yeah, that was much, that was yeah. it. That was the league. It was, oh, I wonder who's going to win the Super Bowl between the 49ers and Cowboys, even though they technically have another game to play after that.
Right.
The actual Super Bowls are irrelevant. We already know they're going to win. It's just who's going to win the NFC Championship.
Yeah.
And it was like that every year for a while.
Oh, man. The good old days, as they say, right?
Yeah. And then Jerry Jones made a pact with Satan, and the rest is history.
Yeah, it's weird. Both Cowboys and the 49ers during the early to mid-2000s were freaking terrible.
Oh, yeah. They were really bad after being unstoppable for decades. They were really bad.
The Cowboys had, like, Quincy Carter for quarterback. And mm-hmm. I remember in the 49ers had Tim Rattay and Ken Dorsey.
Yeah.
And Sean Hill. JT yeah. O'Sullivan, who does the QB School YouTube channel now, which I mm-hmm. watch, especially when he talks about Brock Purdy. Because
yeah.
Brock Purdy, man.
Yeah.
What a guy.
That's yeah, that's yeah. Go ahead and add his name to that list. Brock Purdy. Jimmy hey, Garoppolo.
He just, he just set the franchise record for passing yards for them. So mm-hmm. congratulations.
I actually talked to somebody IRL who was saying that they thought the 49ers were going to win the Super Bowl, but they were worried that Brock Purdy was going to screw them out of it the way Jimmy G screwed them out of a Super Bowl. You know, screwed them out, aka didn't single-handedly carry the team, therefore it's his fault. And because it's Jimmy G's fault that they let the Chiefs come back in the second half. He's totally out there playing in the secondary. But that being neither here nor there, that's not, that wasn't the point of the conversation. The point of the conversation was, is he was picking the 49ers to win the Super Bowl, but he was afraid that Brock Purdy might have another down game at like the worst possible time.
Right.
And my answer to him was, is do you remember not a year ago that Lamar Jackson was in the last year of his contract and he decided to play the last year out without a new contract because he was essentially betting on himself. He was playing his own. He called his own number and he was being his own agent, and he played the final year of his contract without a renewal in the hopes that he would do well and then get a big contract. And that meant he was going into free agency. And he ended up going back to the Ravens, but there was a time there that people were like, oh, he's done with the Ravens because yeah. him and the Ravens are like this now. Mm-hmm. And the 49ers are a team that everyone was like, this is a Super Bowl team. They just don't have a quarterback. Why didn't they go get Lamar Jackson? I'm just asking the room. Why didn't they go get Lamar Jackson? They could have. Could you imagine the 49ers with Lamar Jackson instead of Jimmy Garoppolo?
Why didn't they get Lamar Jackson? Why didn't they draft Patrick Mahomes?
Several people.
Well, that was before Kyle Shanahan, I think.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't draft Patrick Mahomes.
Right. I mean, why didn't they get Tom Brady before he went to Tampa Bay and won their Super Bowl? But no, Jimmy G is good enough.
They didn't want to over leverage the future. And so they only used the resources they had at their immediate disposal and what they could afford, plus what they thought would be good enough was Jimmy G. And I kind of, the longer it goes, the more I kind of subscribe to the, to use a baseball analogy, the Dodgers Ohtani method, which is let's just totally bankrupt ourselves in the future to win now. And if we do win now, then it's worth it. Because, I mean, really, you know, the Patriots and a few other teams aside in the last 50 years, most teams are not serious Super Bowl contenders most years.
Yeah.
And a lot of teams have never won a Super Bowl. There's plenty of teams that have won one or two. And there's only a handful of teams that have ever had a dynasty where they won more than a couple in a relatively short span.
Right.
It's not realistic, seriously. When there's 32 teams all trying to be the best to be a Super Bowl champion every year. So if you have an opportunity to sell your soul to the devil to win three Super Bowls in four seasons, you do it. Like I said, the Cowboys won't win again because of Jerry Jones selling his soul. But I'm not mad that he did it because I got to see them win three Super Bowls in 4 years. It's great. So, I mean, well, the 49ers yeah. had enough talent on both sides of the ball that some of them are getting older now, but were young enough that if they had sold their souls, they could have won three Super Bowls in 4 years with a better quarterback, but they didn't do it. So it is what it is. And now Asante Samuel starting or not, Debo Samuel starting to get hurt every other game. And, what's his name? Kittle's had a good year, but not a great year.
According to the numbers, Kittle has actually had a pretty great year, which is kind of crazy because you don't really see it, but it's been with them, I mean, Trey Lance was supposed to be the future. They drafted him third overall, And then,
yeah, isn't he on the Cowboys roster?
He's
right on the, now?
Yeah, he's their third string quarterback, as he was with the 49ers. So, good trade off. He was supposed to be the future. He got hurt. And then Jimmy Garoppolo was his backup. He went in, he got hurt. And then Brock Purdy came in, lit up the Dolphins, destroyed the Buccaneers. And then it just went, it was like blast off after that. And then, of course, he got hurt in the NFC Championship game against the Eagles, and now look at them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
it's crazy.
Even the 49ers, I don't know how we got
the last pick of the draft, Mr. Relevant, and he's barely, I don't even think he's making $1 million.
No, he's not making a lot of money.
Which is insane. The fact, it's crazy. He's making like 800, 900,000, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Cheap chump change.
That's another part of it. So he's in year two right now. Yeah. Next year will be year three, and he'll be making peanuts. When he gets to year four, I don't know if he has a fifth-year option on his contract or not. Either when he's at the end of year three or when he gets to year four, he's going to say, okay, now you pay me $200 million or go fuck yourself. That's what's going to happen. and they'll probably do it, but that means then their salary cap will be shot, and they're going to start bleeding players. Yeah. And if they don't win in the next couple of years, it's the same thing happened to when the Cowboys drafted Dak and Zeke. CeeDee Lamb was more recent, but at that point in time, they still had Julio Jones came on for a brief time, and who was the other receiver they had at that point in time? Tony Pollard was more recent, but they had a pretty good offensive line. Mm-hmm. And people were like, when all of these dudes are on rookie contracts, like, you got to be making moves. You got to be bringing in all the talent you can, and you have to be putting them around this core of rookies who are making nothing, and you have to go win a championship. And Dallas flamed out at like 12, 13 ish wins at best. And then they all got paid. And when they all got paid, Dallas went for a couple of years. And now they've kind of come back up again. And you have really awesome young players like CeeDee Lamb and Tony Pollard and stuff. But that's the cyclical nature of the league, is that when you're blessed to have some major role players that are essentially on minimum contracts, you have to take that extra salary cap that you have to get the pieces you need to win. When those people's time comes up and they either leave or demand a huge extension, you're not going to be able to make any deals and go get anybody. So I'll put it to you this way, Shane, if I had to bet my life on it right now, I would say the 49ers will win the Super Bowl.
Well, that makes me feel good.
I may not be alive.
Yeah.
Because I have to bet my life on it. But if I had to bet my life on it, I say the 49ers win. I say that that Ravens game obviously was really bad, but I mean, there's no way they're going to have 5 turnovers again. Right. Right. Right.
I don't know.
Right.
We'll see.
I mean, surely not. So
that'd be a really bad Super Bowl for me as a 49ers fan. It'd be a really bad Super Bowl if that game it pretty much happened exactly how it was last time they faced each other. Anyway, Alan, let's end it.
We should have ended it 20 minutes ago, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Then we started talking about football. You know, man talk.
Yeah, man shit.
Let people know where they can find you. And if they want you.
If they want me.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want me, and you know who you are. New episodes of It's Too Late prepare Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern time on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and more. Just go to @AlanMosleyTV. And also don't forget the 6th annual It's Too Late live show is coming up. It's set for May 18th, 2024 in beautiful Columbia, Tennessee. Oh, hold on. There you go. The 6th annual It's Too Late live show, Saturday, May 18th. In Columbia, Tennessee. Get your tickets. You know what? I probably should like have the link for something like that instead of just... There is a link. If you go to my Twitter and go to Alan Mosley TV, it's actually pinned at the top right there. So get your tickets. It's going to be a lot. We're going to have live music. There's going to be awesome food. There's going to be a whole bunch of awesome people there. You know, go out and touch grass. don't just be an internet radical when you can be a radical IRL. But honestly, our events have really just turned into family reunions. Like we just have a great time and we eat banana pudding and mostly just talk about music and football and life, and everyone catches up with each other. We don't even talk about politics. Who wants that shit? It's garbage.
Yeah, that's for podcasting.
Yeah, and then we do a live show. We actually do a live studio audience on a stage, lights, camera, action. Episode of It's Too Late. Yeah, I know. But, you know, it's one of those you have to be there kind of things. So, definitely.
And as I've said, every single time that you've mentioned it, no promises. Mm-hmm. Right? No promises on our end. So, all right. Thanks, everyone, for watching and listening. If you're still watching, I appreciate it. If you're not, then I definitely understand, because I know football talk is... Everyone loves football talk.
Yeah.
So last thing before we go, I just want to, Alan, please participate as well. A moment of silence for the January 6th people and everything that's, you know, is it January 6th? I don't even know whatever. We'll just commemorate that, memory. January 6th. You know what happened on January 6th? You know the thing. That thing mm-hmm. that happened.
Yeah.
So a moment of silence.
The truck's backing up because they're hearing us. I think it's time to end this episode.
And smash that like button.
Yeah, smash that like
button. Just break your computer.
And don't forget to subscribe. Hit that subscribe button.
Bye.
Bye.